Big Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
What if the administration of oil man George W. Bush reported that the U.S. could generate 20% of its electricity from wind by 2030? And what if they used assumptions that, if adjusted for today's reality, mean that the real number could be closer to 40%? In fact, in July of 2008, George W. Bush's Department of Energy did issue a report saying that the U.S. could generate 20% of its electricity from wind by 2030. They called a 20% wind scenario ambitious, but they said that it is, quote, feasible if the significant challenges identified in this report are overcome, unquote. Now, the Energy Department assumed that overall U.S. electric demand will grow 39% from 2005 to 2030. However, it's likely that overall electric demand will decrease during that same time period. It could decrease so much that it's feasible to get 40% of U.S. electricity from wind by 2030. In New England, electricity consumption has decreased at 1.5% per year since 2005. New England is ahead of the nation as a whole, but overall in the U.S., electric consumption dropped nearly 1% in the most recent year we have data for, 2008. Many energy experts think that efficiency initiatives can continue to steadily reduce total demand. What if efficiency and conservation are implemented so well that overall U.S. electricity consumption decreases 1.5% per year from 2005 to 2030? In that case, total U.S. demand would end up around half of what the Department of Energy projects for 2030. The amount of wind-generated electricity that the DOE considers ambitious but feasible in 2030 would then represent not 20% of our total supply, but 40%. That raises some interesting questions. One question is, can the grid handle the new wind capacity? Wind power varies with the strength of the wind. Regional transmission organizations have a responsibility to patch together generators to match demand, or reduce demand to match generation capacity. As the wind decreases in one area, the regional transmission organization needs to be able to ramp down demand by turning off motors using smart grid technology, for example, or bring on new supply. The new supply can be in the same area, like natural gas turbines that roar to life when the wind dies down. Or, with enough transmission capacity over a big enough area, the wind is always blowing somewhere in the relevant part of the grid. Those electrons can be moved to where they're needed. The 2008 DOE report concludes transmission capacity and grid control wouldn't be a problem with 20% of demand satisfied by wind. The authors would probably want to re-examine the question with a 40% wind penetration. I'm not sure whether that high a percentage of wind has been used anywhere in a large grid. A new DOE report, issued last month, suggests that it may be easier and less expensive to build out wind than the authors of the 2008 report envisioned. The new report concludes that the, quote, maximum potential to generate wind power in the United States is more than 3 times greater than previously estimated, unquote. This probably means that fewer turbines could be used to generate the same amount of power, or they could be built nearer existing transmission lines or points of use. One more thing. Because the fuel is free, the DOE calculates that the wind build-out represents only a cost of $43 billion net present value, including the new transmission lines, compared to other transmission sources. That adds only about 50 cents per month to a family's electricity bill, they calculate. Coal currently supplies nearly half of U.S. electricity. Climate scientists like NASA's James Hansen say that it is crucial to stop using coal over the next 10 years to prevent climate tipping points. If we do that, there will be a lot of demand for new, renewable generation. I'm comforted to know that even the oil-friendly Bush administration thought that a whole lot of wind could be brought online quickly. I'm Carl Ettnayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.